Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special, and I trust that you know who Jesus is, and if you don't, that you will get to know him today. Amen. You'll put your faith and trust in him and receive him as your personal Lord and Savior. Philippians in chapter 3, if you would, look there with me. Philippians, the book of Philippians in chapter 3, a very familiar passage of Scripture, a very powerful passage of Scriptures. I've preached many lessons and messages from this chapter. This morning, I believe the Lord has a message for us from two verses here in Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 and verse 14. And so if you would stand with me, we'll read the Word of God together. As I read, you follow right along with me. Philippians in chapter 3, verse 13. Paul writes here, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you this morning again, we thank you for giving us the opportunity, and then for each one that's here who have taken advantage of the opportunity to assemble ourselves together. Thank you for your presence and what we've already received and been ministered to by. But now, Father, as we've looked at this passage of Scripture, I know that you have a message for us, and I pray that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Philippians is Paul's letter to the believers at Philippi, and it's a prison epistle. Prison epistle means that Paul was in prison while he wrote this letter to the believers at Philippi. We understand the Bible, all the scriptures are inspired by God. God chose the different ones to be able to write what he would reveal to them that he wanted to have written down. And then God, not only did he inspire it to be written exactly the way God wanted it to be written, but it's God who has preserved it for us today. And so the entire New Testament, written about 2,000 years ago, presented as God would have it be presented, written as God would have it to be written down, and then for 2,000 years, God has preserved it for the church and the church age, and it's timeless. The words of God are timeless. He knew exactly where we'd be in the 21st century, and his word was just as powerful in the first century as it is in the 21st century. It was just as applicable in the first century as it is in the 21st century. And so all scripture are inspired by God, but God chose to have Paul write this epistle while in prison. Now think about it. The mindset that Paul would have had, he would have been in a dungeon by himself, locked up. And yet we find that he was aware of God in the prison. He was aware of him being an apostle, and that he knew exactly what God would have him to pen to be able to send to the believers at Philippi, but also that God would be using this throughout the entire church age. The Apostle Paul would have much to present to believers, no doubt about that. His life story, if you've studied it, I mean, he wrote 13 of the New Testament books of the Bible. I mean, he was an amazing man, and God has recorded that for us so we might understand Paul. He would have had much to present to believers. But he starts out, and what we read here, one of the things he presents here in verse 13 is, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended." to have obtained full understanding. If Paul could not have attained full understanding, we're not going to be able to obtain full understanding why certain things happen, why all the different things take place the way they take place. We just have to have faith that God is in control. But then he said, no matter what's taken place in your life, just as no matter what was taking place in his life and why he would be in prison, he would understand some of why he was in prison and all the persecution that was taking place. Paul was left for dead many times, left out to sea, all the different things that left shipwrecked, so much in the life of his, in the apostle Paul. And he said, don't fully understand it all, but he says this, he says, but this one thing I do. Now that's powerful. Meaning this, to have top priority. If you could only do one thing, what would it do? If you could only do one thing, then you'd have to realize that's the most important thing that I could possibly do. If it's the most important thing that I could possibly do, then it has to have top priority. So Paul in prison, being inspired by the Holy Spirit of God to write what God wanted him to write, he understood that what he was getting ready to write and send to the church, the believers at Philippi, one of the most important things for them to do. Because he had learned this is one of the most important things that he could do. But this one thing I do, this one thing is actually connected to two things. But they're connected. You can't have one without the other. Forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. You can't have one without the other. Forgetting those things which are behind would be Paul before Christ. Before Christ, the Bible reveals some things that Paul did. A life that he lived was not Christ-like. Matter of fact, he persecuted the church of Christ. He divided families. He had them stoned and beaten, placed in prison. All so many things. And he says this one thing, which is connected to two, is forgetting those things. Paul said, I can't hold on to those things. I just got to forget those things which are behind. Because there's nothing you can do about it. No one can change the past. The past is past, but you can't change it. You can learn from it, but you can't go back and change it. God has to allow it. Don't fully understand why. He said, I don't fully have, I count not myself to have apprehended, to have attained a full understanding. I still don't understand why he allowed me to do what I did before I met Christ. He said, this one thing I know he wants me to do is forgetting those things which are behind, which will lead me to reaching forth unto those things which are before, which would be the life of Paul after the Damascus Road, after seeing Jesus for who he truly was and is, and calling upon him to be his Lord and Savior. Paul writes this, but it's God's message to us, because God would have us to do both as well. And it's one, it's connected. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. The key to forgetting is to put those things out of your mind, and at the same time add as much as you can that you want to keep on your mind. All of us have the ability to do that. Not all of us are doing that, but all of us have the ability to do that, and this is what God says is important. Matter of fact, Paul says, of all the things that I can do, this one thing I do, this has the top priority. If I am going to accomplish what God would have me to accomplish in my life today, he said, I have to be able to put out of my mind the things that were in the past. The things that I have no control over, I'm not going to allow them to control me. I cannot keep them on my mind. I can't keep referring back to those things. I cannot relive those things. I've got to forget those things. But the way that I forget those things is not give them any place in my mind, because I am filling my mind with the things that I need to remember. The things that God has revealed to me, the things that are going to make a difference in my future, the things that are going to allow me to accomplish what God has me on this planet Earth to accomplish. Those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Those are the things I want to keep on my mind. Those are the things I want to remember, so that I might know what I'm reaching for, that I might know what God has me here to accomplish, which are the most important things. Yeah. The message I want to preach to you this morning, just kind of put it in a sentence here, is forgetting to make room for remembering. The more space you give for remembering what God wants you to forget, the less space you have for remembering the things God wants you to remember. Can I tell you, both God and Satan, because it's a spiritual warfare, anytime you're dealing with the mind, anytime you're dealing with the subconscious, it is a spiritual warfare. The physical battle is what takes place last. Before you ever lose a physical battle, you've lost a spiritual battle. Both God and Satan would have us to forget, and both God and Satan would have us to remember. The key here is they're opposite things. This one thing I do, forgetting those things. Forgetting those things. And reaching forth unto those things which are before. There's things that he says I have to forget, and there's things that I have to remember. And I guarantee you, the things that God wants you to forget are the things that Satan's going to try to get you to remember. And the things that God wants you to remember are the things that Satan wants you to forget. That is the battle that we are engaged in and have been engaged in from the very beginning after Satan got the victory over Adam. There's a spiritual warfare that we see the Israel went through throughout the entire Old Testament, and there's a spiritual warfare that we find the church going through for some 2,000 years now, and it continues until Jesus comes for his church, which all the signs are pointing to, it's pretty close. So, first, God would have us to forget what Satan would have us to remember. Those things which are behind. Everyone has a past. Everyone has things connected to our past that God wants us to forget. Everyone has connections to our past that Satan wants you to hold on to. He would love to get you to destroy your future by holding on to your past. Forgetting is putting out of our minds. God has given us a little insight. We won't take the time to look there. Most of us are aware of what the Bible says about Paul's past. Paul would have had much that would have haunted him and would have hindered his service for the Lord if he would have held on to it. Paul would have remembered every face of every Christian that he would have had stoned. Or crucified. Or placed in prison. He would have remembrance of every child that he took his mom and dad away from. He would have remembrances of all the things that he did before he knew Christ. And even Satan giving him an excuse that he was serving God by getting rid of this cult called Christianity. In his mind, maybe that's how he justified it. Things that would haunt. I don't want to go there, but in thinking and preparing for this message, wow. I'm so glad that I don't have to remember the things that God wants me to forget. I somewhat visited there, and it's a place I don't want to live. It's a place I don't want to go back to. So glad that God gives me the grace and the ability to put out of my mind the things He wants me to forget. I love what the Bible says in the book of Psalms in chapter 103. Psalm, let me just read it to you. You can study it later if you would. But Psalms 103 in verse 11, the psalmist writes this. He says, "For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him." You're looking to God and you want to do what God wants you to do. And God has mercy on those who fear Him that will acknowledge Him. But then he says this. "As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us." As far as the east is from the west. If you start out east, you know, you'll never go west. That's why he didn't say as far as the north is from the south, because that's not the truth. If you go north, you have to go south at some point. This is something that God says, as far as the east is from the west, as I have given you the mercy and forgiven you of those things, they're never going to be brought back to your account. God says, I have forgotten those things. I've put them out of my mind. Can I tell you that only God can truly forget? Only God has the capacity to forget, because God can do anything and everything. The way we are designed, our minds and our subconscious holds on to everything we see, everything we hear, and just that's just a matter of the design of humanity, the design of the brain. How that's going to come into play later on, I believe it will at some point when we stand before God. And whether you're saved, stand before Christ, or whether you're lost, you stand at the great white throne judgment, but you will give an account of your life, and I think it's all being recorded. God can forget you and I. It's always going to be there, but we have to choose to put it out of our minds. And by choosing it, put it out of our mind, if we don't have the things we want to fill our minds with, you're never going to do it. You won't be able to do it. That's why this one thing is connected to both things. It's connected to forgetting and then remembering. But opposite things. Opposite things. what we need to do is realize what God has erased from his mind, and we need to erase those from our conscious mind. Put them out of our mind. If God does not remember what he wants us to forget, don't allow Satan to continue to bring them to your mind. Because he will. I love this thought. When Satan knocks, send the Holy Spirit of God to answer. When Satan knocks and he says, hey, let me remind you of what you were before. Let me remind you of this. Let me remind you of that. Things that's going to haunt us. Things that's going to hinder us. And I say, no, Spirit of God, Holy Spirit of God, go answer that door for me. And I say, get thee behind me, devil. Because you're trying to get me to do something that my God does not want me to do. You're trying to get me to remember something that God has forgotten. If God has forgotten it, I'm not only going to give an account for that, because God has forgotten it. He's forgiven it. It's cast as far as the east is from the west. Why should I remember what the Lord Jesus Christ has forgotten? What he paid. My sin debt on Calvary's cross, so that his blood could wash away my sins. They're washed away, they're not going to be brought back to my account. Why hold on to that? It can only hinder and haunt your future. So God would have us to forget what Satan would have us to remember, which is connected to God would have us to remember what Satan would have us to forget. He would have you to keep it on your mind. But God says, I want you to remember what I've given to you. I want you to keep it on your mind, because the things that I give you to keep on your mind is going to be what you're going to need to reach forth. And that's the second part of this. Reaching forth unto those things which are before. That's the rest of your life. We're at different places in our lives as I look around here this morning. Some of us have got a long way to go for the end of your life. Put the things out of your mind that God wants you to put out of your mind so you can accomplish greater things in the rest of your life. Yeah. But it works even if you're at the last stage. You might be at the last stage of your life and you're trying to figure out what's going on in your life and all the different things that's happened throughout your life. Can I tell you, it is more important for you if you're going to finish strong. If you're going to look to Jesus and give him, make him Lord of what's left of your life, it's so important that you do this. Realize that you need to forget the things that God wants you to forget and remember the things that God would have you to remember. Because if you remember the things that God wants you to forget, it's going to haunt you for the rest of your life. It will keep you from accomplishing the things that you can yet still yet accomplish. So remember, that is to keep on your mind the most important thing, that there is a God. That changes everything. A person's belief in God will put them on a course of life totally opposite from that person who believes that there is no God. You will not live the life that God wants you to live unless you are believing that there is a God. And you have remembering all the things that God has given to us to remember, because those things are what's going to allow us to accomplish the things that God has us here to accomplish from this day forward, if you will. You can't do anything about yesterday, but today is the first day of the rest of your life. You can do anything and everything about the rest of your life. And what you need to do is right now, today, decide I'm going to forget the things that God wants me to forget and get behind me the devil, because he's wanted you to remember those things. And then I'm going to remember the things that God wants me to remember, because Satan wants me to forget those things. When you're living a life of sin, you're not thinking about God. We can never forget that there is a God. We must remember. 1 John chapter 5, let me read this to you. 1 John chapter 5, he says this. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Praise the Lord. And everyone that loveth him that begot loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. Listen to me, verse 7 says this. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. I can never forget the Trinity of God. God wants me to remember who he is. He is God, my heavenly Father. He is God, my Savior, the Son of God. The only begotten Word is Jesus Christ. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we have the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. Can I tell you that every day of our lives, we need to think about who God is. Every day when I bow before my God in prayer, when I get into my prayer closet, I remind myself of who it is that I'm praying to. I acknowledge, God, you're the great I am. You're the God of all creation. You're God, my heavenly Father. And I acknowledge you and I worship you and I praise you, because not only are you God, my heavenly Father, but you're God the Son, my Savior, my Redeemer, my Lord Jesus. And not only are you God the Father, and not only are you God the Son, but you're God the Holy Spirit, my Comforter, he that dwells within me. Can I tell you, you should never forget who God is. You had better remember every day of your life that there is a God in three persons. Each one of them having a work in my heart and in my life. I think of God, he wants me to think of him as my heavenly Father. I say this from time to time, but it's so true. I'm a lot of things to a lot of people. I'm a husband to my wife. I'm a father to my children. I'm a grandpa to my grandchildren. I'm a pastor to this church. But the most important thing that I look to and what I need to understand most is I'm God's little boy. As long as I know that I have God as a heavenly Father, can I tell you, it takes the pressure off of me. I'm God's child. And he loves me. He sent his Son to die for me. He sent his Holy Spirit to dwell within me, to never leave me nor forsake me, to be a comforter to me throughout my life in this world. I need to remember that. Don't forget that. Don't let Satan cause you to forget that. We got to remember that. We got to remember. We serve a God of love and grace and mercy, who forgives and cleanses and restores, who has a perfect will in a way for how he wants me to live my life. And he's empowered me to live it the way he wants me to live it, if I'm mindful of where I get my strength. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. It's a way of life. It's instructions. Things that I cannot forget. But God wants me to remember. He has a plan and a purpose. He has instructions for believers and his church. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous, and whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is a victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Don't lose sight of faith. Hold on to it. Grasp it. Fill your mind with it. Fill your mind with the promises of God. Fill your mind with the words of God. These are the things that we need to remember. This book right here needs to be in you. You need to feast upon it. You need to open up your heart and your mind to them. Every verse, every scripture, every truth, everything that God reveals to us, I need to remember them. It needs to fill my mind. If you fill your mind with this, you'll forget what God wants you to forget. You won't have any room for it. Yeah. Keeping these things on our minds. As he says, forgetting these things, remembering these things, keeping these things on our minds will allow us to reach forth unto those things which are before. The most important thing in our lives, the most important days of our lives, are yet before us. You know, I enjoy playing golf. You know what the most important shot in golf is? The next one. The next one. The pros, the thing that the pros have over most amateurs, the things that you have to focus on, a short memory. If you're thinking about the shot you just missed, you're going to miss another one. And then you're going to chunk another one. And then you're going to chunk another one. And it's going to mess up your game. The most important shot is the next one. Because I can't do anything about the previous ones. The most important days of your life are the next ones. I don't know what you remember coming in here. I don't know what you have tried to forget coming in here. But when you walk out of this place today, you need to know what God would have you to forget. And you need to know what God would have you to remember so that you might accomplish what God has you here. You still have life. You still have purpose. We want to accomplish what God has for us to accomplish for the rest of my days. Let's forget, so that we'll have more room to remember. If I could have every head bowed. When you focus on remembering, it'd be easier for you to forget. What is it? What is it that you just can't get over, that's haunting you, hindering you from going forward? Listen to me. Put it under the blood. Once it's under the blood, it is cast as far as the east is from the west. And if God doesn't want to remember it, you shouldn't either. Forget it. And remember the things that will help you to press forward. Father, we bow before you this morning. We love you. Thank you for the truth of this passage of Scripture. I pray that you'd help us all, God, not only to see the truths that you've given to us, but know exactly how you would have us to apply it in our own lives. Help us, Lord. Direct us, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.